You know, most of you in the New Directions area, I'm sure you've seen those GPS guidance systems. About most everyone has them, especially in the newer models of cars that they have. But some are built in and some are, I guess, still portable that you can attach to your windshield and so forth. But people like me, I just use a smartphone. But you can, they're kind of neat. They tell you where to go and give you the directions. And some of them you can even change the voice in them to accommodate you, whether it's a man or a woman or perhaps even an English-speaking voice, if you like that Epicurean-type stuff. But if you miss turning on a street or intersection or something, they tell you where you're supposed to go, and a voice will talk to you and tell you that you missed a turn or you should go here. I know Kisha does a great job of that to me as well, but the only difference is I can't turn her voice off like I can my smartphone. Smartphone, you have that option to turn the voice off so it doesn't tell you to turn each turn that you go. And many times in our spiritual lives, we don't have the direction of where to go. And so we need some type of GPS system in our lives, some type of spiritual guidance system. We as believers and disciples have the Word, and we have inwardly, we have the Word as our tangible thing that we can see and read, and then we have the Spirit in our lives giving us direction. And I'll be speaking today and next Sunday on new directions. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Psalms chapter 87, verse 2 this morning, and I'll be speaking to you about the gate of refuge. You know, St. Peter was at the gates of heaven interviewing a man, and he said, you know, you haven't done anything bad, but that you haven't done anything really good either. He said, if you can just tell me one good thing that you've done, I'll let you in. And the man replied, he said, well, he said, I was traveling down the road when I saw some thugs, group of thugs, robbing a woman. So I went up to them and I shouted, I said, hey, stop. And unfortunately, things got a little out of hand and I ended up punching their leader and punching him out. And then to the rest of the gang, I just said, I challenged the rest of the gang to come fight me. And St. Peter said, wow, he said, that is pretty impressive. He said, when did this happen? And the guy said, oh, about 2 minutes ago. So, you know, we all want to get through those pearly gates of heaven, regardless of if it's last minute or not. We still want to be safe in the arms of God. And God is gracious even to allow deathbed confessions of Christ, healing of the soul and the spirit to be with him. One of the mighty miracles that took place in the Old Testament was in the book of Acts chapter 4, and that was when Peter and John was walking by the gate called Beautiful, and there was a lame man, and he was sitting there begging for alms, but instead Jesus decided to give him legs, and as he was healed, he jumped up and he began to leap and began to dance. But the fact that it was called the Gate Beautiful, I believe, is kind of a way that God views gates and how he loves them. God's favorable many times in Scripture for gates. He loves gates so much that there's a great verse this morning in Psalms 87:2 of our text. It says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all of the other dwelling places of Jacob. And then also God said in Genesis 22:17 that one of the promises of Abraham's seed is that you will possess the gates of your enemy over and over and over again. And then the prophet Isaiah also spoke in 28:6 when he said that turn back the battle at the gates. So God is always thinking about gates. Gates is on his mind. Scripture says that the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than any part of the temple, the tabernacle. He loved it more than the holy place. He loved it more than the holy of holies. He says he loves it more than the foundations of Zion, according to 87:2, just what we read in Psalms. See, there's a difference between a wall and a gate. A wall usually keeps people out, but a gate lets people in, and a gate swings both open and shut. in either direction. And the hinge on the gate represents an illustration of our divine choice. God has a fondness, and He loves the idea that someone can choose to stay, or they can even choose to go. And a gate doesn't mean that you just have only access to go in, but it means that you can choose to leave if you want to. And God says, I love that. I love that. He loves the fact that there are these people that can choose me. They don't have to, but they choose me. They don't have to praise me. They don't have to go to church. They don't have to glorify me. They don't even have to be conscious or mindful of me, but they choose to. And He says, I love the fact that they could choose not to, but they choose me. That's why in Joshua 24:15, Joshua stated, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so God loves gates because He loves the choice that they have. Now, think about this for a moment. God created man, and He formed him out of the image of the dirt, and He breathed life into man, and He placed him in a garden, and he put Eve there in the garden with him. But did you ever wonder why God didn't place that tree behind a wall of some sort, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? But instead, He placed it right smack there in the middle of the garden. He placed it where they had a chance to choose if they would obey what God had told them about the tree, or if they perhaps may disobey. And he could have placed it behind a wall and placed some, you know, powerful angels there with some flaming swords to saying, you can't touch this tree. But instead, He says, I want to give you the choice. Because I love that, the choice when you do right and honor God above all. And that thrills God's heart when you do that. And I do that. He loves choice. He loves the fact that you all have gathered in this wonderful place today to give Him praise. And you're not here worshiping by some decree that you have to. But you're worshiping out of your free will. You're worshiping out of your choice. I mean, you could have stayed home. You could have even, I mean, it's nice and warm and cozy at home. You don't have to get out in the elements. You could have gone somewhere else if you want. I don't know what events they have going on this weekend, but there's always that. But instead, you're here sitting in church. You're praising His name, singing, shouting, some of you clapping and praising. And God says, you chose me today. And I like that. And He's going to bless you all week long because you chose Him, and His people are a blessed people. Amen? We're not obligated to praise Him like the angels. We're not forced to do it. We're not programmed to do it like some robot to come worship Him. But we do it out of choice. And God loves that, especially when you're going through some trials. And especially when you've had a tough week and things haven't gone good all week. And you come into God's house and you raise your hands to praise Him. And you say, I still choose to praise You. And the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever and ever. And when you have problems and struggles in your life, and you still say, I will still choose the Lord and whom I love by choice. In the book of Numbers, chapter 35, there's a great story about gates. The Bible states that God said to Moses, He said, build me 5 cities and call them cities of refuge. And these cities would be geographically located in Israel, different places, so that wherever people are, if they hurt someone, or if they accidentally kill someone, or if they murder someone, if it was by accident, or perhaps maybe even manslaughter, maybe they were swinging an axe and by accident the axe head came off the handle and flew off and hit someone in the head, and they died from that. Well, under the old law, it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And you had the right, if someone was directly related to the victim, that you could go and kill that person because they'd accidentally killed one of your kinfolk. Even if it was by accident, because they killed one of your relatives. And the person who would carry out the justice in that family was called the Blood Avenger. Sounds like some movie. But it's mentioned in Numbers 35:19. All of this is found in Numbers 35. But God said, I want you to build cities of refuge so that if they've made a terrible mistake, something has happened, and they're under judgment, if they'll run as fast as they can to the city of refuge and enter in. And by the way, these cities had 24 hours access, because believe me, if you're on the run and someone's trying to chase you and kill you, you want to be able to get in the city at all times of the night, not just in the daytime. But if they can just get to the city of refuge and enter in by choice through those gates and live in the city of refuge, says the Blood Avenger can't touch them there. Can you see someone who's in danger, and they got shame on them, and they have condemnation and the guilt of, I just killed someone and I didn't mean to. I know someone's going to come after me. And they know the Blood Avenger is chasing them, and you know that in your mind he's getting closer and closer every morning, and you wake up wondering, is this the morning a knife's going to be underneath my throat? Is this the morning I'll wake up and see my family slaughtered as the Blood Avenger is getting his justice for something I just did by accident? Because that's how the system was then. But he finally runs, and he runs with his family, and he chooses to go through the gate. Can you imagine how that must have felt? Where, I'm protected now, I'm safe, I don't have to worry that somebody's always going to be killing, trying to kill me, looking over my shoulder, that I'm in the city of refuge. And the law said that the Blood Avenger could come right up to that gate if you just took your time in getting in. And a place, because he could not enter the city of refuge, but the city of refuge held a place of comfort, a place of safety, and a place of protection where your children were safe there. You didn't have to worry about them being knocked off either. The Bible says in Psalms 91:1, he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I say to you today, he is my refuge and my strength and my God whom I trust as well as you. Proverbs 9:10 also states that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. So here we are. We have guilt and we have judgment, and the law says, you deserve to die, you deserve judgment, but if we run to our city of refuge, his name is Jesus Christ. And you can choose him, and you can choose life, and you can choose grace, and you can choose forgiveness, and you can receive a new life through him. And if you will just run to him, he'll never ever cast you out. He says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care how religion has told you that you're too bad. If you'll just run through the gate into this city, you're safe here. I'll protect you. He will forgive you. He'll restore you. He says to your past, my past, there is no authority here in the city of refuge. Come to Christ. Come into the church. Come into the place of prayer. Come into his righteousness, and you enter in by choice into his holiness. And you're here today. You're in a refuge. You're in a place of security. I mean, some of you can even hear the trampling of the Blood Avenger as he just outside, as he would love to get his hands on you again. But he can't touch you, because that's what Christ did on the cross for us. And I'm saying to you that it's an awesome thing that we have this in Christ, a place of refuge. But there is one disadvantage to the city of refuge. It still had a gate at the front of the city, the front of that gate, the city of refuge. The same gate that you and I made a choice to enter in was the same gate that you can exit if you chose to. And if you went outside the gate, then you were no longer safe or protected. And this is a real warning for us today, in a good way, that once we enter into Christ, to be careful that we don't slip back into the old life that he brought us out of. You're safe in Christ. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have a perfect record. But just don't let sin get in your walk to where it's an everyday thing. Don't let it get part of you, become part of you. I mean, all of us fall. We stumble. We trip. But the stuff that's like destroying your family or your life or your character or your name or your reputation, you just can't go back into that casually without understanding that the blood avenger is waiting outside for you. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament about a man named Abner. Abner was one of the sons of David, and it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 3. But this is where you'll find in the story that that in the Bible he accidentally killed a man. And Joab was one of David's mighty warriors, and he happened to be the blood avenger. And he chased Abner and was almost able to kill Abner. And the Bible said to Joab, he said that the blood avenger Joab spoke softly to Abner every day. Every day. Outside of the gate, inside of the gate, in words such as, "Come on out of here. I won't hurt you. Just come back with me. Remember how things used to be? We were so close with your dad and everything. It's like, you know, I'm kind of getting over this. Come on, Abner. Why have you had to change your heart and ran into that city in this place of refuge? You know me better than that. I've known you all your life. We're good." And Joab continually spoke to Abner in a soft way. And the Bible states in 2 Samuel 3:27 that one day Abner walked out of the city of refuge. And notice first, Abner could have told Joab, he said, "You want me that bad? You come into the city of refuge, because once you entered the city of refuge, you could not do any harm." But the Bible said that Joab spoke softly and kindly persuaded Abner. And Abner stepped outside of the city of refuge, and the Bible said that when he did, Joab took his left hand right up under Abner's stomach and stabbed him and killed him. And when King David heard of this, he was profusely sad and he wept. And he said, "Abner died as a fool dies. My son has died as a fool. Why? Because he didn't have to die. If he would have just stayed in the city of refuge." Here's the point. In the news back in the summer of 2015, you may remember it, but there was a story of Cecil the lion in Africa, a beautiful and famous lion. And Cecil was living in an animal refuge in Africa, and there was a hunter by the name of Walter Palmer, and he was a recreational big game hunter. And Palmer had hired a team to usually go on his hunts. And allegedly what this team did is they tied a dead deer. They killed a deer, tied it on the back of their Jeep and split its throat. And the deer just started bleeding out. And they drug it around the borders, along the border of the animal refuge, where they knew this prized lion named Cecil the Lion stayed. And of course, Cecil the Lion, he picked up the scent and of the bloody deer in his territory and in his refuge, where he was totally protected, where no animal hunters could reach him or hunt him. And as long as he stayed in that city of refuge, or that animal refuge, he was safe. But he caught scent of that deer and was lured out of the refuge. And as soon as Cecil the Lion was lured out of the refuge, Palmer shot Cecil with a bow and arrow and killed him on July 1st, 2015, according to the Zimbabwe authorities. And that was a sad, the way Cecil the Lion had died. But what was interesting was not the fact that Cecil the Lion was killed, but something they said happened strange the next day after that had happened. You see, Cecil the Lion had a brother by the name of Jericho. And all the people of Africa named him Jericho. And he lived in the same animal refuge as Cecil the Lion did. And what they said, notice that he started on his own choice. Jericho began going outside of the boundaries of the cities of refuge every day. And the Zimbabwe authorities concluded that the reason Jericho was going outside of the refuge is because he was looking for his brother Cecil. And so what I'm saying to you is this, is that once you get into Christ, you need to remember that when you go out, you may influence your brother, your sister, you may influence your best friend, you may influence the rest of your family. And that's why we need to stay in Christ. Because we don't go at this alone. No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. But at the same time, look at the other side of the coin. The influence that we can have is that I'll be saved. And my wife, and my family, and my whole household, my brothers and sisters, they'll all come with me into the house of the Lord. That's the other side of the coin. But be careful, because the enemy, once you enter into Christ, doesn't try to lure you back out. You have the choice. You make choices, and your choices make you. Doesn't matter how long that you've lived in the city of refuge, you better stay in the city. I'm 54 years old, and I thought that when I turned 50, the temptations would start to fall by the wayside, but it doesn't get any easier the longer that you serve the Lord. Actually takes more grace the older you become, and we need to develop the mindset that we're going to live in Christ according to the boundaries of His Word. This is where peace is, and this is where joy is, and this is where life is, where healing is, and where favor is, and where blessing is. Amen? God so loved Gates that He even put him on hell. The Bible teaches us that hell is a real place. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Which means this, if people go to hell, it won't be because a loving God sent them there. It'll be because they chose to go. They chose to trample the blood, trample the cross under the feet. They chose to resist the Holy Spirit who calls to them. They chose to say no after that voice that has invited them to enter into safety. Nobody is sent to hell. And it wasn't even made for human beings. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, He says, the eternal fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. That's how loving our God is. No other person but God loves us that much. God put gates on hell, but He says the only way to get them is to choose to resist the cross, to resist the Savior. All that Jesus did in His death, burial, and resurrection. And if you choose to go there, you'll get there. But you'll do it by resisting the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you. God also put gates on heaven. 12 pearly gates, according to Revelation 21:21, because no one makes it to heaven by accident either. In 1 Peter 2:9, He tells us it's by choice. It's by choice that we choose Jesus Christ. And the choice is that we're not afraid to be afraid of death. We're not to be afraid of what the future holds. You put your life, you put your future, you put your eternity in Jesus Christ and what the Word says about Him. You may hear from the doctor that you've got anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years to live. Even in hearing that, we can still be victorious. We don't have to be afraid of death because we have victory through our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Just last week, many of you know Michael Roberts, Summer's husband. Michael's father, Freddie, who attended here for a time, the doctors at one hospital told him that he was just too risky of a case to operate on. We give you about 2 weeks to live. prepare your stuff. And then they sent him away. They didn't want to mess with him. He went to another hospital, and they said, okay, we need to operate on you right away. And they scheduled him to get in. And this was last Saturday. Scheduled him about 4 o'clock in the afternoon to get in. And Summer prayed with Freddie. She asked us to pray for Freddie. And when the doctors went inside of Freddie to put a couple of stents in, they realized when looking at him through the CAT scan and so forth, they said, you just have high cholesterol is all you have. That's all you have is high cholesterol. And they prescribed him some high cholesterol medicine and recommended highly that he change his lifestyle. What a difference of choice we have. What a difference in man's opinion and what God's able to accomplish. But we have a choice. We have a choice to choose the gate of refuge. Hell has gates, heaven has gates, and also His presence has gates. And you chose this morning to come to church. But some can choose to come to church and sit like a replica of Mount St. Rushmore. Or you could choose, as it says in Psalms 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise, and His courts with praise. So the choice is yours, whether you choose this morning to get something out of the service or not. There's people sitting on the same road that you're in today. Some of them's going to get a blessing, and some will get nothing. It's all up to you if you choose to enter in through the gate. If you choose to enter in the gate, you can leave the way, one way or another, a different way. If you come in depressed, you can leave joyful. If you come in down, you can end up spiritually uplifted. We don't come to church sad, to be sad. This is our city of refuge, and we're blessed. Amen? Jesus made a difference, and that's why we're here today celebrating His goodness and mercy. The Bible states 31 times in the New Testament that we're in Christ. This represents you, and when you enter into Christ and choose Jesus Christ in your heart, we're covered and we're clothed completely with Christ. And the Father, when He sees us, He doesn't see us anymore. He sees us completely covered and covered by the righteousness and the holiness and the purity and the favor and blessings that Jesus gave us on the covenant of the cross. 31 times, every day of the month, we get up and we have a new day in Christ that is our city of refuge for 31 days. This morning, God just wants you to remove the entry points to the city to keep us safe in Christ. The entry points that the enemy always speaks softly to us, trying to call us out. Scripture says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, lay aside every sin which so easily entangles us. It's those little things that seem to get us. The little things that they might not be a weakness to other people because they can handle it, but perhaps you can't. And we need to remove the entry points to seal the gate by the grace of God, and He'll give us that to do it. He'll give us the power to do that. If you're here today in the sanctuary and say, hey, Pastor, I know that I'm not where I really need to be with God today. I know I'm not where I should be or how I want to be, but I just love to choose Jesus, make Him my city of refuge by choice, because we're not forced to. I know a lot of people who've ran into the city of refuge in Christ, but when the troubles are over, they go right back out from where they came. But I choose on my free will to enter into Christ because I want to be covered. I want Him to see the sun in my life and by grace and have favor on my life. So if you really want to choose to enter into the city of refuge, and not just to hear about how safe it is, not just to sing wonderful songs about it, not just to pray about it, but to enter in to stay safe and be in. It's all by your choice. Question is today is, do you want to enter the gate of refuge? To the one who's been crippled by past hurts, Jesus asks, do you want to be healed? To the one chained by ways of the past, He says, do you want to be loosed? To the one who's battling addictions, Jesus asks, do you want to overcome? to the one who yet knows Christ in their life, Jesus, he continually knocks at your heart's door and asks to come in. And to all of us who need a touch of Jesus in our life, he says, do you wish to get well? I remember 20 years ago, I was running from the blood avenger because I had been hurt by a church. And so I ran into here. I didn't want to serve because I'd done all that. We'd been voted out of a church. We tried to start up our own church. We just worked and worked and worked. And I just wanted to come and sit and listen and leave. And Jesus began to say to me, he said, you need to run to the gate to the city of refuge. And remember back then I used to sit over here by where Kaylin's at. Me and my family. And Jesus began to say to me, run. The Spirit said, run to the gate. He said, find refuge. That's where you'll find me. And I was a faithful church attender here. It wasn't like I came once a month or every now and then. I was a faithful church attender. That's what I told the Spirit anyway. And I said that I even praised your name. I raised my hands, which was really good for a Baptist back then. You know, and I did all that. But the Spirit kept telling me in my soul to run. Run to the gate. Now, for the enemy plants spirits, seeds of bitterness in your soul. And before I knew it, my feet were carrying me up here to the aisle. And I prayed with Pastor Jack, who was the pastor at that time. And I prayed for encouragement. I told him I was ready to serve. I was ready to have healing in my heart. I was ready to teach children. I don't care what it was. I was ready to do something. But just sit there and listen and leave. I wanted to become engaged. I wanted to become involved in God's ministry here. And so I encourage you today, for those of you who the Spirit is saying in your heart, to run to the gate, to enter the city of refuge, to enter in and close the gate so that you'll stay in His presence. And once you enter the gate of refuge for perhaps a new direction in your life, you'll be safe, and you'll find that peace you've been looking for. You'll find that healing that you've been seeking. You'll find things coming off of you that you don't want anymore through the grace and love of God and of His loving people. So this morning, will you please stand to your feet this morning, all over the room, please stand with me, and our altar counselors, please come up also. And today, as we stand and sing praises with our praise team, maybe today you would say, please pray for me. I need to make things right today. I need to choose Christ. Some of you may have decided this year that you need to get baptized. It's time for you to become baptized, to make that outer commitment. I've made a decision for Christ, but I've never really followed through with the completion of it and been baptized. And I just need to do that. Maybe it's time that you decide to make this your city of refuge. And you just need to come up today and affirm that this is your church. This is your church family. And not just be an attender to listen and leave. If that's you, I would boldly invite you to come this morning up to the altar and to make that declaration. As our altar counselors, as well as me, are here to pray with you, you come as we sing this morning and as the Spirit leads.
Suddenly I feel you holding me. 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 Sweep me away. Sweep me away. Sweep me away. Sweep me away. Thank you.
Thank you this morning for attending, coming to the house of God for blessing, praise, and worship. We thank you for that. Father, we praise your holy name this morning. And thank you for giving us the city of refuge to find peace and fulfillment in you. A place where the blood avenger, the enemy, can no longer harm us once we're in you. Give us the strength, help us the wisdom with understanding to stay in you and to seek you daily in our lives. We love you and praise you and ask you for protection on all of us. In your wonderful name, we pray. And the church said...